The portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 7th and 8th verses. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. This past week in chapel, we've been focusing on marriage and family, talking about how they are wonderful blessings from God. We heard about establishing our marriages and our families on the solid foundation of God's Word. We heard of Jesus' first miracle, which was performed at a wedding. Just yesterday, we heard about how husbands are to honor and love their wives. And as we close out this week, I'm here to tell you, forget everything that you've heard thus far about marriage. Don't get married. It's not worth it. Now that sounds perhaps a bit radical, especially with my wife and one of my daughters sitting here. But one might get that impression that that's what Paul is saying here at the beginning of this, in this text before us, if we don't understand perhaps his context a little more. I wish that all men were even as I myself, that is, unmarried, unattached, single. Why would Paul make such a drastic statement? Does God even want you to get married? Well, let's get something straight at the outset. Paul is not against marriage. If we back up to the very first chapter of this, the very first verse of this chapter, we can put a little more context around his words. He stated at the beginning of the chapter, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." That last part of the verse really should be read almost as a direct quote. That is, in a letter from the Corinthians to Paul, they had expressed that opinion. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. There was a prevailing idea among some of them, you see, that to be a faithful Christian, it was best to avoid sexual contact altogether. And the reason that that thought had come to prevail is that there were others in the Corinthian congregation who thought the very opposite. They thought that it was okay as a Christian to be promiscuous, to be adulterous, to have relations with prostitutes. And Paul had spent chapters 5 and 6 of this letter dealing with counteracting that false idea. And so in this chapter, he turns to counteract the overreaction of the other Corinthians who were saying, well, if that's the case, then it's better not to have sex at all. So in answer to that question, does God even want you to get married? Paul answers, if you can remain single, remain single. But each one, he says, has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. The gift that Paul is talking about here is the God-given ability to remain single, to remain unmarried, a gift that not everyone has. Now, I'm willing to guess that the majority of us here today are married or are going to be married someday, and really that's not too hard of a guess. Simple statistics say that for a group of our general age range, most of us are married or going to be married at some point. So what would be the benefit of remaining single? Why would Paul say that he would prefer everyone to remain single? Well, we have to look later in the chapter, really, to understand his reasoning behind that statement. In verses 32 to 34, Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. It's just a fact of life, then, that in many respects, married people have more on their plates than single people. When two people have been joined together as one, as what happens in a marriage relationship, each spouse has the other as their number one priority in life, after God, of course. And if they're blessed with children, then they have even more people who are high priorities in their lives. Now, does that mean that the unmarried Christian does not have other people as high priorities in his or her life? Well, of course not. But it's different when we're talking about the marriage relationship compared to the relationship we have with our parents or our siblings, our friends. The marriage relationship is the closest human relationship possible. If you're not in a marriage relationship, well, then you have more space in your brain and in your heart for thinking about things of the Lord. And that's why Paul expressed his wish that every unmarried Christian would remain that way. He spoke from experience. Now, we don't know if Paul was ever married. We know when he was writing this letter to the Corinthians, he wasn't married. But Paul knew that the work that he was doing was so tiresome and so taxing, he couldn't imagine trying to balance that work with the cares of family life. That's why he said it would be better for everyone to remain as I am. So no, you don't have to be married to be a faithful and a hardworking Christian. You as a single person are not letting God down by not being married, by not having lots of children. You're not somehow less important in God's eyes than your married friends and relatives. But again, Paul is realistic. He knows that not everyone can do what he did. Not everyone has that gift of being able to remain single. So in answer to that question, does God even want you to get married? Paul also says, if you can't remain single, then don't. This is clear from what Paul says in this chapter about being able to control one's sexual passions. Some people can. The passions that they have don't have mastery over them. They have mastery over their passions. And others can't control that or have that mastery. And for them, in verse 9, Paul says it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, burning with passion here is not a weakness. It's part of our human existence to have desires for those of the opposite sex. Not that there aren't sinful desires that we can have for the opposite sex. When we lust after someone who is not our spouse, when we get addicted to internet pornography, when we crack crude jokes about sexual matters, we know these sins very well. We know what these sins bring us, that they bring us under God's condemnation. But we also know that we have a Savior from those sins. We have a Savior from all of our sins. Can you imagine never having a single lustful thought about someone of the opposite sex? Never crossing over that line from admiring someone's body to lusting after that body? Jesus was a man. He was 100% human, and yet he never lusted. He never sinned. And then he went to the cross as if he had sinned, as if he had all of our sins on himself, as if he were guilty of those sins. He made himself guilty so that he could pay the penalty we owed to God because of our sins. And through faith in him, you have forgiveness of those sins. You have freedom from eternal condemnation. And it's in the context of that faith, of being a Christian, that we understand what Paul is saying here about God's will for you concerning marriage. God has established a particular means by which he allows us to fulfill our sexual desires for one another, namely in a marriage relationship. Some people don't need to be married because they can master those desires. Other people can't, and for them, marriage is indeed a blessing. So can you serve God better as a single person or as a married person? Well, you may not be satisfied with the answer. But really, the answer to that question is yes. Amen. Let us pray. Use us, dear Lord, whether we are single or married, in the work of your kingdom, all to your glory. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.